Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Father, to give us guidance and the knowledge and the wisdom of your word. Father, he's the one that can take us in to the depth and give us the truth that is there. Father, that's what we're seeking for, the truth of your word. Not as the world will have it, but as your word speaks it. And Father, keep us according to your will and your way. And be with us now throughout the remainder of this service. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we was in John 17. And I'm planning on getting on into 18 this evening. But I'm going to finish up these last few verses here in 17. Because of the special meaning that's in it. It lets us see our Lord and Savior not only in a different light, but a lot better light than what most of us look at him as to being. I had left off with verse 19, so I'm going to pick up here with verse 20. Well, let's go to 19 to refresh. Because, and for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. He's letting you and I both know that our needs has to come through him. And he keeps up with everything so you and I can receive it and have it. Here in verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Here in his prayer, he's praying mainly to the Lord God, the Father. But he's praying and talking to his disciples while he's still with them. Because he knows that very shortly he's going to be taken from them. And you know, that's got to be a sad day. It won't be sad just for them, but also for him. Because he loved them so greatly. But we know that his heart had to ache. Because you see, he may have been sent here as the Son of God, and his ministry was to begin the building of the church to accept all of mankind, not just the Jewish people, but for all of us. And but you and I, we can only become Christians because we have what they gave us for us to live by. Everything we have pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ came from them. And this is what he's talking about there in 20. He's talking about those that would believe on him through their word. That's you and I. If you are a born-again child of God, or if you have become a young Christian and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because of his word that they recorded and gave to you and I. And his word is true. Scripture tells us that man's a liar, but God's true. We know that mankind has changed a lot of things, especially over the last 60 years, how mankind has brought down the church. And when we look around today, a lot of this evil that we've got going on, we have to lay it at the door of a lot of our churches, because they are not out there preaching the word of God. They're out there selling stuff and doing everything in order to get monetary gain. And they have used it to replace working at hard labor and to have an easier life. And they've made it accept things that are not acceptable to God. we know that homosexuality is not just an alternate lifestyle. It is an abomination unto God. Think about it. Yet a lot of our churches has accepted it into the church, even to the point that they have accepted homosexual pastors. How much more evil do they want? But they have taken in a lot more. They've taken in the fact that abortion was a woman's prerogative. It was for her to choose. No one can make the choice of taking a life except the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Think about it. But we've accepted a lot of things. The church has. And I will tell you this. This is one church, as long as I am here, will not accept the evil of Satan in it. I will not accept homosexuality, adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, stealing. No. Teaching things that are contrary to God's word. Not here, we won't. And those that are in this ministry with me, they stand as I stand, and they will not accept it either. But it's not coming in here. And you know, we come through that front door, we come through to bless this church and to tell Satan he's not welcome here. He's not welcome in it. And we do so in Jesus' name. And he is not strong enough to stand against that name. We don't stand using the name of Jesus near as much as we should. Because it is that name of Jesus that will keep your and my life straight. Any other way will not do it. There is no other way that we can enter into heaven than through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and we take a look here, because and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. We know from this morning that we are one with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father, and with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Now, here in verse 23, he tells us, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God loves you and I according to his word. as he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. When we stand in him, then he stands in us. Because you see, you and I are commanded to do the same work that he was doing while he was here on this earth. We need to get busy about our ministries. Be talking to everyone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Be bringing them in to the church here so they can hear the truth of God's word, that they'll receive it as it is written and not changed into saying things it does not say, nor one that will preach something that is contrary to it. We can bring them in online. Those that live close enough, we can bring them in person. We need to be dealing with every friend, every family member. Time is growing short. It's not going to be too awfully long before the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be coming for his church. And when he does, those that are left behind will have no way out. Think about it. All of your friends, your loved ones, will be left here without a way out. You know, I hear different preachers over the TV preaching, oh, there's going to be people saved during tribulation. There is. We're told exactly how many. We're also told who they are. And they're not us. There's 144,000 that will be. And they are of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 from each tribe. We need to get into God's word and stand on what it says. Not try to take it apart, tear it down, and make it say things we want it to say, and not what it says. We need to be in church, one way or the other. If you can't be here, you can at least call in and stay with us as we go through the word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to see what it's telling us, not what I would want you to know, or no other man, but what God wants you to know and to receive, so that you can be what he wants you to be. There's only one way of doing it, and that is by fulfilling that plan of salvation, which you'll find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you need God's word. And you need to begin to understand about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and about the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You see, you need to know them in order to accept them and know what they are about. And then you accept God's word by faith. That's the way you get salvation, is by faith. And that's the way you get anything else from God, is through faith. The church is here to help. Help the community in which it stands, and to help those that it will reach. All that it can. Now, verse 24 says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He's talking here about all that has been given to him, all of the men, mankind, that has been given to him by the Father. And that means you and I, even. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. We know that the Father sent him into the world. We know what he was sent here to do. And us that know him, we know he fulfilled the work that the Father sent him here to do there at the cross. And through the resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and he done exactly what he promised he would do. He told us it was needful for him to go away and go back to be with the Father, and that he would send us the Comforter. And if he didn't go back, the Comforter wouldn't come. He paid a terrible price for you and I. The pain, the physical pain, the heartache that he went through. And he gave his life so that we could have life, and that we could have it more abundantly. That we could walk and do the work that he would call upon each one of us to do. And you know, he will send you to do the work he's got lined out for you to do. We'll be sent just as he was sent. Once we are walking with him, in him, and he in us. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That chapter has told us so many times about him being in us, and us in him, and the Father in us, because you see, the Father is also in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit has fulfilled us. He's here. We have the deity of the Godhead living within us. And if they can be for us, who can be against us? No one can continue standing against us when the Lord our God is for us. Because they cannot stand against his power. They cannot stand against the name of Jesus. They cannot stand against the power that the Holy Spirit brings into your and my life. Think about it. Think about that, will you? And bless the Lord God Almighty each and every day of your life and every moment. Making him the priority, the first in your life. No one should come between you and him. Not your spouse, not your mother, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. No one. He should be number one in your life. If he's not, then you're going to miss out on the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. And that is making heaven your home. Think about it. We have just now finished with chapter 17. We're going to take a look over here now and begin 18. We're not going to get very far in it, but we're going to get started. And maybe we'll be able to finish up with it Thursday night, God willing. Verse 1, chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Now, we know that the brook Cedron is a ravine on the east side of Jerusalem over by Mount Olive. The garden we're talking about is Gethsemane. You know, John doesn't give its name, but we do find its name in a couple of the other Gospels. And you know, John doesn't tell us or give you and I an account of what the Lord prayed there or how his disciples actually went to sleep. But you can find that in Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Think about it. You know, we don't look at enough of God's word to know what's going on. I'm going to read you what happened that night there in Gethsemane from Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He's asking them to watch with him as he goes to pray. And he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Do you think he wasn't hurting in the heart? You thinking his heart wasn't hurting when he's asking here in prayer if it would be possible for that to pass from him? But he's also letting the Father know that he's willing to go ahead and pay the price that the Father is asking of him to pay. 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? They had fell asleep. They couldn't even watch with him. They should have been there praying themselves about him and for him. But instead, they fell asleep. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We talked just a little bit about that this morning. Not much. This flesh is weak, very weak, especially when it comes to the point of this flesh facing death. And moreover, how that death will come. Now, says he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. That is exactly how your and my prayer should always end. Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. Because you know what is best for me. And you know what you have for me. I don't know it all, but you do. So keep me, Father, according to your will. That I'll walk that way and not in my own. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Not only did they sleep the first time, but they slept the second time also. And he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. He could have said the moment, really. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. We know from our studies before that Judas was right there with them. You know, said he was there with a band of men. You know what it takes? How many men there is in a band with the Romans? There is from 300 to 600 Roman soldiers to make a band. John, here in his account of the arrest, does not mention Judas's kiss. He will tell us other interesting details that's not given in the other Gospels. But you know, the main thing about it is that Jesus knew the future, and he knew that they was there searching for him. And Jesus here in verse 4 says, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? He's asking them because he's wanting it brought out. Judas is going to have to finish what he started, which was the betrayal. He had already received 30 pieces of silver for it, and he told them what to watch for. To watch for the one he would kiss. And he told them to hold him tight. And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. He's not trying to hide. He's letting them know exactly who he is. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. When asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Here in verse 8, Jesus answering, he said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. He wanted them to leave and to be free, because in order for the scripture to be fulfilled, he had to be able to say he had lost none except the one that betrayed him, the child of perdition, and that was Judas. And he didn't want any others lost. Now, verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gave me, have I lost none. You see, it wasn't my word that I was telling you. That was God's word written right there. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword unto the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Put up your sword, Peter. This cup is for me to drink, and I must drink it. I must finish the work that I came here to do. You and I are to finish the work that the Lord God has for each and every one of us. Think about that. Think about it. We can't leave anything undone. It is all to be fulfilled. Well, I'm going to stop there for today, this evening. God willing, we'll be picking up there come Thursday night and going on. My prayer is that each and every one that heard this message today is that you are walking in the Lord and the Lord in you, and that you are walking filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and that you are fulfilling the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you to do. Continue on. Help us to build this church online as well as in the building itself. Help us to work in this community. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, for those that might be listening that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, take a few moments and pray this prayer with me. But pray it from the heart in all sincerity. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. I'm asking for forgiveness for all of my sins. The sins that I remember and the sins, Father, that I don't remember. And Jesus, I thank you for your blood that covers my sins, that washes me clean, white as snow. Thank you for your forgiveness and in making me a believer in you. Jesus, come into my life. Live through me. Use me in great and mighty ways. And let me know what you have for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Accept that by faith. Pray that in faith. Accept it by faith. And you begin to walk in salvation as a believer. And Jesus will start, he and the Holy Spirit will start his work with you. But remember, now, start seeking for the infilling and dwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to give you the power and the strength to do the will of Almighty God. Father, in closing, your saints, wherever they are in the world, I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, I pray for them to find peace. And that peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But even more than that is that they will come out of the law and all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of mine, Father, in which I live, that has turned its back and walked so far away from the gospel, from the Lord Jesus Christ. They've taken him out of everywhere he was in. Father, those of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that love you, we need you working with us, Father, helping us to take those out of office that has done this evil thing. And help us to replace them with those that will work with us to put the Lord Jesus Christ back into every place he was taken out of. Father, help us to put our land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as each name on our prayer list is spoken, Holy Spirit, touch them. Touch them in a mighty and great way, letting them know that the Lord Jesus Christ is there for them and fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Terry Coates, James Taylor, myself, Lord, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ in Brandenburg. Father, hold us all in the hollow of your hand, because we all know that without Jesus, we are nothing. We would have nothing. It is all because of him. Now, Father, help us with that peace that passes all understanding. And we ask this all, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, Pastor Small of the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, not only lighthouses, but make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find the light, that light being Jesus. Make him a place of refuge, Father, a place to where man can find that change that is needed for his life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Montbello and her mother. We're suing for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen. These all stand in need of a healing touch. The Johnson family, Father, stand in need of both spiritual and physical healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. For my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, be with us now until we can come back together. Keep us all safe, Father. Keep us all in health. Keep our needs supplied daily. And most of all, keep us in righteousness and upon that pathway. And we ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evening. So until then, God bless. Have a great few days. Walk with Him. He'll walk with you. Good night, all.